You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, where we help you take control of your genes so you can live at the highest quality ever. We're fortunate today. We have a great guest in the second hour. Yes, Gary Ginsberg's always a great guest. He's not going to be here. But at the bottom of the hour, we have Nick Webb. Nick Webb is spectacular, meaning he is one of the most invited, listened to, wished for, if you will, speakers ever on innovation. He has 40 patents of his own. But he also tells us how to keep innovation alive, what to do, and he's a spectacular person. The new book he has coming out is called Wave 3. We'll have to find out what it's about, but I understand it's about how changes in care, that is, changes in innovation, will be radically changing health and health care in the future. What I wanted to talk about first today, I'm going to talk about second in this hour. That is, I'm going to talk a little bit about addiction and blood tests for addiction. But first, before we get to that, I've got to talk about one of your questions. We had one question the first hour that won the award. That was the question by, I think it was Lamar P. from Detroit, who talked about prostate screening and should he still get it. I'm sorry, Omar P. was from Baltimore. And he said, should he get the PSA test every year now? And we said, not only should he, but it will radically change and radically improve a little bit in the future because we're now measuring protein folding, not just the protein amounts. PSA is not very specific or sensitive, meaning positive in disease and negative in health. It isn't really perfect that way, but the PSA folding test is, and that's when you get the protein, but you measure not just the amounts of the protein, but the four-dimensional structure of it, and from that four-dimensional structure, you can say, does this person likely, with more than a 99% sensitivity and specificity, that's a 99% chance of picking up the disease if he has it, 99% chance of not picking up the disease if he doesn't have it. With those real changes that's coming this year with the PSA test, we think then everyone will get it. But the other question was an interesting one. This is from Ned T. in Arlington, Texas. I quit smoking about 2 years ago and I'm vaping nicotine instead. I guess that's when he's using e-cigarettes. I've heard that fewer people are smoking cigarettes. Could vaping be the reason? Does this account for the decrease? Well, you know, there are a couple things I want to say, Ned. The only reason you didn't get the award wasn't because you're vaping, but I just thought that the question that Lamar asked from Baltimore deserved the book this week. So every time you send a question in, we put you in the top question category, and if you get the top question of the week, you get the Owner's Manual Radio. Nah, this is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, but you get the book, This Is Your Do-Over, that we wrote on how to change your life. And the seven essential secrets to doing that is what the book is all about. But, so you should feel very good, Ned, about quitting smoking, but I'll get to vaping in a second. The amount of smoking has gone down from 45% of Americans, over 50% of men, around 38% of women in the high point years, to now it went to, I think it was 18% in 2013. That was down from 21% in 2005 and 16.8%, the absolute low this year. Some groups, such as Native Americans, those with mental challenges, low income, which doesn't make sense because you have to pay so much of the income to pay for the cigarettes, and uneducated, and the LGBT community have not seen the reduction in the last few years. but everybody else has. As for nicotine vaping, no, it's not healthy. It keeps you addicted to nicotine, and most nicotine vapor is not pure nicotine. We wish it were, but they're made not purely in this. You put out some formaldehyde and some other things in, and you still get changes in airway resistance when you smoke, which increases your risk for a lot of other chronic diseases. It's much, much better than tobacco smoking, don't get us wrong, but it is now being used as a gateway drug to get people hooked on other things. So we're not really great enthusiasts of vaping nicotine, but it is much, much better. Now, vaping is an addiction, and I wanted to speak about that in the first part of the show, first part of this hour in the show. As you know, Dr. Oz has been doing a lot of things with Grant Williams and others to bring the problem of addiction, whether to narcotics or to other things, to the forefront, because 17% of us in America, that's a huge number, have a problem with drugs or addiction. And if you look at it in our lifetime, it's 1 in 3 of us sometime in our lifetime will have a major problem with alcohol or drugs. So this is, or some other addiction, if you will, gambling, sex, etc. So the problem is, we all get hooked on things. It's too easy to. We should start celebrating recovery, and that's what we're interested in doing. And there is improved treatment. You can't do it alone. It is very, very tough to do. You know, it's like swimming from New York to Los Angeles. I suppose someone could do it if they went through the Panama Canal and with a lot of help. But you just can't do it. It's very tough to quit alone. You just can't go cold turkey and be done with it. So there are ways of doing it. There are much better addiction programs available, but we aren't still there with recovery. We don't have all that we need, but there are programs, and the key point is get help. So that's what we hope you'll do, is to get help if you are addicted. There is a Breathe Free program, Ned, in This Is Your Do-Over and in You, the Owner's Manual, and every one of our books, we've put in a Breathe Free program because it's very tough to do it alone. So instead of nicotine vaping, you could put on the patch or the gum, get a buddy, get the anti-craving pill, and start walking. Your brain wants to be busy. You have to substitute one habit with another. So that's how the brain works. It builds new connections, and those connections are strengthened by use. So in order to get rid of one connection, that is the addiction connection, you've got to get another connection that gets you high. So that's what we hope to have you do. We're going to run out of time for the next segment that I want to talk about. That is, how do you get and avoid holiday weight gain? You've already gone through this huge meal of Thanksgiving. Now what do you do? Is it you exercise it off? What do you do? Well, we're going to talk about going spicy to beat holiday weight gain, because the average American will gain 1 to 3 pounds over this period between the day before Thanksgiving and January 2nd. And you say, well, that's not much. No, but we never lose it. And that's what we gain. The average American gains 1.25 pounds per year, which means over 25 years, you're gaining about 32 pounds, which is exactly what happens throughout America. So we're going to find out what spices you should use and going spicy to beat holiday weight gain. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and right, and stay tuned at the bottom of that. We have a great guest, Nick Webb, sensational guest coming up. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
Are you suffering from hidden allergy symptoms such as lack of focus and fatigue? How about bloating, joint pain, headaches, or anxiety? Hi, I'm Dr. Suzanne Bennett, natural allergy and wellness expert. I have condensed over 25 years of my clinical experience into my new book, The 7-Day Allergy Makeover, a simple program to eliminate allergies and restore vibrant health from the inside out. This book is for anyone who wants more energy, more mental clarity, a powerful body, and to live allergy-free. I am offering 4 free gifts when you order my book today through Amazon or Barnes & Noble. For more information, go to drsuzanne.com/book. Again, that is drsuzanne.com/book to jumpstart your healing today.
Radio with Dr. Pamela Peek, MD.
What we have to do now is we have to demand at the highest levels, National Institutes of Health and big funders, that before any study is done, that male and females are both included and that the sex differences are teased out.
And Michelle King Robson.
Only 37% of clinical trials today are done on women, and that had to be passed by Congress to even get that done.
The Naked Truth about women.
We as physicians are now being asked to look at many of these medications, start at the lowest dose possible in women.
And the FDA said that too, that, you know, just prescribe the lowest dose. But we need to review all drugs for women.
Live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern and always on demand at RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio Talk, and the free TuneIn Radio app. Stay well.
It's illegal and dangerous for teens to drink any alcohol and then drive. Still, 1 in 10 high school teens drank and got behind the wheel of a car in 2011. If you're a parent, be aware that when teens drink, it's usually to get drunk. Teenagers can't legally buy alcohol, but many get it from their homes or the homes of their friends. Drinking and driving is never okay. Make sure your teenager has a safe way to get home in case they're out with a teen driver who's been drinking. Put this in a parent-teen driving agreement, which should also include wearing a seatbelt and following their state's graduated driver licensing laws every time they're behind the wheel. Find a sample at www.cdc.gov/parentsarethekey. Parents really are the key to safe teen driving. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Michael Roizen, MD. Here's Dr. Mike.
And coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have Nicholas Webb, thought leader. He's a world-renowned healthcare futurist. Webb is author of the best-selling books, The Innovation Playbook, The Digital Innovation Playbook, Breakers, and The Cost of Being Sick. As a senior partner with Lassen Innovation, Webb provided consulting services to some of the best companies and brands, Gatorade, Cigna Healthcare, Microsoft, 3M, just to name a few. He's an award-winning innovator with 40 patents for technologies, including one of the smallest medical implants, as well as a range of consumer and technologic innovations. He's coming up at the bottom of the hour, and he'll talk about the disruption that is occurring in healthcare and his new book, Wave 3. Not yet out. You can't get it yet. I don't even think you can pre-order it on Amazon yet. But it is what he's thinking about, and he has been so right for so long. He's someone we want to listen to. Next week, Dr. Sandeep Vaishnavi, The Traumatized Brain, A Family Guide to Understanding Mood, Memory, and Behavior After Brain Injury. It's published by Johns Hopkins Press Health Books. Obviously, they don't publish anything from slouches. So, Dr. Vaishnavi and his partner, since he's at Duke, his partner is Dr. Rao, Vanni Rao, who is at Hopkins, and the two of them together have teamed up for this great book that we'll talk about, and more importantly, great information for you next week. So I'm going to tease that as well, because we have a whole bunch of wonderful things coming up next week. Next week, I'm also going to talk about who should be on your healthcare team. That is, what people should you have? Should you have, for example, I'm going to tell you, it's not only a primary care doc, and you ought to have one, I believe, that has a great Rolodex, and we'll tell you what I mean by a great Rolodex for your primary care physician next week. We also have their wonderful stories, I know, because I get the news in advance. They're wonderful, and I can't tell you about the medical news, but there's some really great stories, medical stories, coming up in the medical literature this next week. This week, for example, there was one from the British Medical Journal showing how just eating walnuts improves your diet so substantially as to reduce your risk of heart disease, brain injury, eye disease, and even metabolic syndrome and diabetes. So I will talk about that because we don't have enough time to talk about it today. But I'll talk about it next week. Also, next week is our own conference in Las Vegas. So we'll be live from Las Vegas, or maybe pre-recorded from Las Vegas, talking a little bit, about the conference and the microbiome. Stan Hazen's going to be talking at the conference. Stan, maybe we'll be able to get him, if not for next week, a future week, for an interview. He is the person who's done most work on red meat and your microbiome, how your red meat and egg yolks actually change the bacteria in your gut to cause you to have inflammation. But I wanted to cover one more subject today, since we've just gone through this tremendous eating frenzy of Thanksgiving. And by the way, as we said in the first hour, today's the day. After today, throw your leftovers out. Don't put them back in the refrigerator. Throw them in the garbage. Wrap it up. Take it outside into the trash can. Don't have it in your house anymore, because after today, it won't be any good. We also talked about the importance of hand washing, sleep, half of a vitamin before and after, and of exercise in preventing colds. And the key thing in preventing colds is not contact with people with colds, so, or with viruses that have been left around. Key thing, that old thing, that small thing, the hand sanitizer, or even putting some hand sanitizers in. I'm washing my hands now. Hope you can hear that on the radio. The hand sanitizer, use one of those wipes of hand sanitizers as soon as you get on an airplane or a bus or a train, and wipe down around you, because the bacteria on that tray, at least on the airplane, 8 times as many bacteria and viruses on that tray as even on the handle on the throne. But how do you beat the holiday weight gain? That's right. 'Tis the season for packing on extra weight. In the United States, the average person gains 1.25 pounds between the start of Thanksgiving, that is between Thursday of this week, and July and January 2nd. And you say, well, a pound and a quarter isn't much. Well, that's what we gain and don't take off. We traditionally gain that much, so over 25 years you're gaining 32 pounds, and that's exactly what's happening in America. We're all gaining this 32 pounds, and it's causing us a problem. So our weight control strategy is to go spicy. So that, what do I mean by that? Well, instead of having just regular food, let's up the spiciness of the food so you won't eat too much of it. So peppermint and chocolate, citrus, cinnamon, and cranberries, they put you in a holiday spirit, and in, they're one way to avoid the mega-calorie drinks and candies, pastries, and other baked goods that people will bring around and leave into that high-calorie minefield you have. So put oranges, tangerines, and grapefruit with a classic stocking stuffers. Instead, take dried cranberries, dark chocolate chips, the mini chips, some walnuts, put them in a Ziploc bag together, and take them with you. Obviously, there's a health bonus. That dark chocolate and those walnuts really are both great at delivering satisfying fiber and good fats. If you want something warm, a little cinnamon and nutmeg to add to your coffee or skinny chocolate. And obviously, the cinnamon helps you control your blood sugar, and nutmeg discourages inflammation. What about other things? Yeah, turmeric is one of the great things. Tea with turmeric, green tea, adding turmeric or capsaicin, that is again a healthy drink. And ginger topping. That's right, fresh ginger gives vegetables and proteins an exotic lift, and it's a great spicy substitute. And ginger on top of vegetables or on top of anything delivers inflammation-calming compounds, so it is one of those great things to enjoy. It's what we say, go spicy to beat holiday weight gain. Hope you're doing that. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Nick Webb, the world-renowned healthcare futurist, who's the author of the best-selling books, The Innovation Playbook, Digital Innovation Playbook, Breakers, and The Cost of Being Sick. Maybe he'll talk to us about makers as well as breakers, but he's going to tell us about Wave 3, where he predicts the future of healthcare in America in stunning detail. We'll be back in a few seconds with Nick Webb. In the meantime, I want you to think about what you're going to do, what your resolutions will be, so that you can plan your resolutions. We'll actually talk to Nick about what the future will bring with or without you having resolutions, but clearly having resolutions is a great way of planning for the future. So I hope you will have some resolutions. I'm going to talk on this show next week on December 5th, that is. We'll talk about the best resolutions and the best questions we heard at the Preventive Care Conference in Las Vegas. In the meantime, let's welcome, in a few minutes, Nick Webb to talk about innovation and Wave 3.
Who says you have to be young to feel young? You can experience that exuberant energy in many stages of your life, but sometimes you may need a little help. If you're not feeling that kind of energy, it may not have anything to do with your age, but instead the production of testosterone in your body. Michael's Naturopathic Programs has a formula for that. Michael's Testosterone Factors contains the essential nutrients that support the production of testosterone naturally. This comprehensive formula is a combination of vitamins, amino acids, and select herbs that are ideal for proper male hormone production. Feel young again by getting the support you need with Testosterone Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find it at your local health food store, your favorite online retailers, or go to michaelshealth.com and check out our full line of naturopathic formulations for all your health needs. That's M-I-C-H-A-E-L-S health.com. Michael's Naturopathic Programs. Tried and truthful.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
For more than 45 years, Barbara's has created delicious cereals and snacks made with simple, wholesome ingredients you and your family can trust. Barbara's breakfast and snack items are lower sugar, higher protein options, free of artificial ingredients and colors, with the majority of its product profile non-GMO Project Verified. Committed to better health and better taste, Barbara's gives families real, wholesome food that's tasty, too. Check out all of the products at Barbara's.com.
Great party, huh, guys?
Yeah, it is.
I do say so myself. Hey, did you know that birthday parties actually help build confidence in kids?
Yeah, I did know that.
Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Right, of course.
Yeah, I knew that. Did you know that strollers have the right of way on sidewalks?
Oh yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that friendly kids statistically have more friends?
Everyone knows that.
Oh yeah?
Pretty obvious.
Yeah, so obvious.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Think I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? First, I had to decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more, so I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore, and frustration a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy, and giving up impossible. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
RadioMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Nick Webb is a world-renowned healthcare futurist. He's the author of the best-selling books, The Innovation Playbook, The Digital Innovation Playbook, Breakers, and The Cost of Being Sick. He's a senior partner with Lassen Innovation, and he's provided consulting service to some of the most important firms: Microsoft, Cigna, Healthcare, Gatorade, Intel, Polaris, and 3M. He's an award-winning innovator with over 40 U.S. patents, and including some that have been on the forefront of medicine. We're going to talk to him today. And one of the things I want to talk to him about is his new book that's coming out. It's not out for about 8 months, but he's always in the future, and it's called Wave 3. It's a book about the future of healthcare in America, and Nick has been so right about it. Let's hear what he's going to say. Nick, how are we going to change healthcare so that we can decrease its cost?
Well, that's a great question. I think that the biggest parental answer is the fact that we need to change the way in which the whole industry, and for that matter, individuals, are incentivized. You know, we know from sociology class that we really don't change behaviors unless there is a way in which patients are rewarded and a way in which patients are disincentivized to do things that are self-destructive. And the reason that's important is, as you know, 70 to 80%, in other words, 70 to 80 cents of every dollar that's spent on health care is spent on what we now call lifestyle disease. So I think one of the things that we're going to see in this as we transition into wave three as it relates to the patient, I believe that we'll ultimately have a national health score. And this health score will be very much like a credit card score. And it will determine a range of access in terms of how we gain access to different services and the type of access that we get. Now, I know that sounds sinister, and I get a lot of very shocking responses to this concept of a national health care score. But I think in terms of patients, that'll be a big part of it. I think
you're speaking to me that I'm at the Cleveland Clinic, we actually incentivize in a huge way. So yeah, it's important to have a culture change, and yes, it's important to have aha moments and to change the environment and to have programs for the healthy and for the sick. But the key is to have a huge incentive, which we do, as all the other change. And so that's how we've been able to bend the cost curve down. And so you're speaking to the choir here, Nick. I didn't realize you also believe that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to take it to another level, I mean, we know that there is only one way to change bad behaviors. And let's face it, when you have this new concept of gratuitous utilization, or what we call lifestyle disease, if lifestyle disease represents 70 to 80% of the cost of healthcare, we can go to a certain point, but we reach incentive saturation. The psychodynamics that incentivize people to do good only represents a certain amount of total population incentives, right? So if we just try to say, hey, it's really good to be healthy, and if you participate in this, as you've done an amazing job up at the Cleveland Clinic, if we can do that, we know that we can have an amazing impact on cost. But you reach a point of saturation, and I think that if you take a look at it like from the perspective of life insurance, the cost of life insurance is directly correlated to your state of health. And most of that is variable cost that you can change by getting to an optimal weight, by changing your diet and all the things that we all know about. So I think that we will see, and again, I'm not sure exactly what the manifestation looks like, but we're going to do incentives. But the part that I think a lot of people aren't quite prepared for is that within the next 5 to 8 years, there will be very well-defined punitive measures to stop people from self-inflicted chronic disease.
Yeah, so just to tell you what we do, and that's to the listeners too, I don't think I've done this in a while, but we, for six normals, normal blood pressure, normal fasting blood sugar, waist less than half your height, normal LDL cholesterol, can't remember which one I did, no cotinine in your urine, and immunizations up to date. You do those six things, and if you're a family of four, it's essentially a $2,400 reduction in your health care per year cost. And by that, we actually save money on the family, considerable amount of money we save by doing that and bending the cost curve down, even with all the incentives built in. So that's what we do, and so our healthcare score is pretty easy. It's just getting to six normals, because once you get to six normals, you really reduce the chronic disease by 80 to 90% over about a 30-year period.
Yeah, that's tremendous.
So that's what we do, Nick. Is do you think will we get incentive burnout at that point too?
Well, I think that there, you know, what we have found from dealing with a lot of total population health in corporate, you know, corporate America has tried this for 4 decades, as you know, and for the most part, they try it, nobody's on board, they don't get employee engagement, they don't get participation, not at the levels that they were hoping for, even with some reasonably good incentives, and then they quickly pull the switch and go from a wellness strategy to a disease management strategy. And I think that there are additional money on the table, if you will, and certainly lives that can be saved by also creating disincentives. And I think it'll look like this, that as we look at healthcare globally, is that if you're a 65-year-old female and you're 120 pounds overweight and you need a hip, you're not likely going to gain access to that surgery until you reach a certain BMI, for an example. And I know that that there are medical reasons that you're going to have a better post-surgical recovery, but I think that it's also going to be about, look, if you want to be able to gain access to this, you have to meet us by participating in wellness. It'll be more mandatory. And I also think that there could be some kind of almost scary but certainly beneficial manifestations of this as it relates to wearables. We're already seeing people that are making wearables available free to employees, and in return for doing that, they have to basically sign up that if they don't meet, that there's basically an incentive and a disincentive. If they follow the program, they get a well-defined compensation by not doing bad things but also doing good things. I think we're going to see a lot more of that. And one of the things that's happening that I think is most exciting is this concept of patients as a node. We're starting to see some really interesting ways in which we're going to help patients do a far better job of getting feedback and understanding about what their behaviors do in terms, their daily behaviors, and how that equates to their improved state of health and how it affects their degradation of their health. And I've been in about 17, 18 wearable hackathons in the last few months of innovators creating these new technologies. And it's really exciting to see the way in which we're going to be able to help a lot of patients through wearables.
Now, one of the keys in wearables will be a blood glucose level and an inflammation level. When do you think we'll have those ready?
Well, technically, we have, the Google X contact lens is probably the closest, least invasive way of being able to get glucose levels. I think in terms of inflammation and some of these other things, we could be maybe, a few years off, and I think that they're going to come in the form of appliques, disposable appliques that are able to glean information through continuity data, and ultimately I've seen some stuff that are transdermal kinds of approaches that are gaining some really interesting information. We're going to get to a wearable tricorder within the next 5 to 7 years. Essentially, most of what we are going to want, we're going to get in the next 5 to 7 years. There's just so much work being put into this right now. I can't help but believe that'll be the case.
We'll be right back talking more about incentives and disincentives, because I'm fascinated by that, with Nicholas Webb, our world-renowned healthcare futurist. You can look at nickwebb.com or go to Amazon and any of the books like the Innovation Playbook.
Packing for a trip? I know that many travelers like you wish there were more options to stay healthier and happier away from home. Enter Even Hotels with a wellness-savvy staff, a best-in-class fitness experience, healthier food choices, and natural, relaxing spaces. There's no excuse to miss your workout there with fitness options for core, cardio, and strength, from their best-in-class athletic studio to the in-room training zone. Eat well while on the road with an abundance of simple, natural, good choices, including customized menu items, freshly prepared food for specific diets, and healthy grab-and-go items. Enjoy premium amenities to wash away the stresses. And finally, at the end of every day, you can rest easy on their premium sleep system that features natural eucalyptus linens and pillow choices to accommodate every type of sleeper. If you can't stay with them at one of their locations, enjoy helpful tips from their wellness travel site, wellwellwell.com. Discover Even Hotels.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
This is Meryl Streep. Over the years, I have played some characters you could call controlling, but the truth is, there's so much in life we can't control. But here's something we can. Colorectal cancer. It affects men and women, and it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., which is astounding, considering it's almost entirely preventable. Here's how. Most colon cancers start as polyps, and screening helps find polyps, so they can be removed before they even turn into cancer. Screening also finds this cancer early, when treatment works best. For me, screening was simple and quick. It was no big deal, except for the huge sense of relief you feel afterwards. There are several tests that you can choose from. If you're 50 or older, you should talk to your doctor. Decide which one's right for you. Take control. Do everything you can to prevent colon cancer. Screening saves lives. It could really save your life. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Green light. Hey, girl. School zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. The goal of Radio MD is for you to stay well. And our goal is for you to take control of your health so you can live at the top of your curve. And we give you the information. Nick Webb is a tremendous speaker and innovator in this space and talks about the future of healthcare. Nick, how did you get involved in healthcare?
So I started out with a small company, 25 years ago, Star Surgical. And they were the first company to make foldable intraocular lenses. And I just, fell in love with that space. And one thing led to another. I started inventing surgical products in my early 20s and turned in one of the world's smallest microsilicone implants for ocular surface disease, and started really as a technologist, just loving ophthalmology and surgery, and then later started looking at health and healthcare more globally. About 15 years ago, I wrote the first edition of The Cost of Being Sick and made about 6 or 7 predictions that were considered to be ridiculously overstated, and they all came true, and one thing led to another, and now I'm a healthcare futurist, so here you go.
And now you do a lot of healthcare consulting,
yeah,
as well as, obviously, you do a lot of work on patents, since you've got 42 patents. Of all the patents you have, which do you, not which has been most important, but which do you find most satisfaction in?
I think in my flexible intracanalicular implant that's for ocular surface disease, 57 million Americans suffer from dry eye syndrome, and my design made it possible to put these punctum inserts into the punctal opening for dry eye syndrome, and it helps, tens of thousands of people have benefited from that technology. So it's really been exciting, and now I work more with large companies like Blue Cross and Cigna and large clinics and pharmaceutical companies to help them, understand really what the trajectory of change looks like in healthcare so that they can do a better job of serving their patients.
And you've now made some predictions about the future, and telling us that we're going to have to do a lot better at controlling these costs, because obviously the number of people with obesity and consequent diabetes and heart disease and cancer is and even hip replacement, et cetera, is rising so fast that, and it's not just in the United States, we've exported our bad habits, so it's around the world. We're going to have to do that. If you look out to 2020, whatever, give me 5 or 10 years out, what do you see as the biggest changes that we're going to do, and how are we going to get them done?
Well, the three ways that we've transitioned through, the first last 60, 70 years, we've been exploding treatment interventions, which resulted in increasing the cost of healthcare by 275%. Meanwhile, populations have gotten far sicker. And then when you combine that with the silver tsunami, the aging population, with the sickness of our population, there isn't an economist in the world that has any credentials that could even suggest it's even sort of sustainable. So what happens is we get to this disruptive, wave three is the disruptive phase, meaning that we're not going to fix most clinical models. We're going to destroy clinical models. And by that, I mean, take an example of Live Health that was developed by Anthem. Instead of waiting for, 4 hours to get in to see a doctor, you can see a doctor in 4 minutes. But they're leveraging a community that rates the doctor. So now doctors are instantaneously available. Uber now has Doctor on Demand, where you can get on Uber in New York City and have a doctor in your Manhattan home in a matter of seconds. So I think the same thing that's happening is going to happen to healthcare that's happened to everything else. In fact, we now call it the Uberfication of healthcare. Things are going to happen faster. Healthcare is going to become a consumer package good. From the patient's perspective, self-destruction by way of sedentary lifestyle and food and alcohol and smoking is going to be very painful for them in terms of the way in which the insurance companies and the government set up punitive measures. So we're going to do a better job incentivizing. We're going to do a better job of punishing to get people to change behaviors. And we're also, I believe, going to change the clinical models to have wellness gatekeepers. I think we're going to start with wellness rather than the older allopathic approach of saying, what drugs do you need to address your sickness. There will be a massive shift in the next 5 years towards prevention and wellness. Absolutely no question about it. When 70 to 80% of the cost of healthcare are self-inflicted, then the obvious low-hanging fruit is our ability to go to the core causality of disease rather than the expense of trying to fix somebody through expensive drugs and other interventions.
And what I've been both impressed by and depressed by is that even when you make this a huge, we're at the 30% differential now, there are still a number of people who don't participate with us.
Right.
Do you think we'll just keep going up, ratcheting up the price differential so that is what, the gatekeeper differential so that we get to that point?
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, we look at healthcare in the United States from a disease perspective. We look at everything as a way. I have to admit, for my entire professional career, I was rewarded by creating treatment interventions. And pharmaceutical companies are rewarded for creating treatments. They're not rewarded for creating solutions, right? If you look at that across the healthcare ecosystem, our incentives are wrong. We don't incentivize people to get better to a better state of health. And until we change the motivators and the ways in which we leverage changes in human behavior, we're not going to be able to solve this problem. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. So what I'm asking is, so the instead of being at 30%, where do you think we'll have to go? In other words, in a corporate environment, that's pretty easy to do. But in Medicare and Medicaid and the general population, do you think we'll be able to get there?
I think that we're going to be able to leverage game mechanics, social engagement, support tools with wearables that will be made available to that population, because the government and insurance companies will benefit from making those available. But in the process, they're going to say there will be the punitive measurements. What we're missing right now, and I know it sounds horrible, and I don't mean to suggest I'm advocating for punishing people who are sick, but what I'm saying is there is no incentive for those patient populations to get better. They're incentivized, but they're not disincentivized. A lot of patients play the game not to lose instead of playing the game to win. For that,
we've been talking with Nick Webb, NICKWEBB.com. Go to Amazon for the Innovation Playbook or other books and look for Wave 3 in about 8 months. Thanks very much, Nick, and thank you for listening.